Kelly.
I know, but last time we were next to each other.
Yeah, I know.
Calling to order the September 8, 2016 meeting of the Kirkland Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council. Can I have the roll call, please?
Carter Bag.
Here.
Colleen Cullen.
Here.
Eric Law Liberty.
Here.
Mike Miller.
Here.
Glenn Peterson. Matthew Pruitt.
Here.
Sandeep Singhal.
Here.
Kelly Curtis.
Here.
Brian Gothrop. Bill Goggins. John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here.
We have three items on our agenda tonight. The first is a public hearing on amendments to the comprehensive plan, the capital facilities table. The second is a public hearing on the Kirkland sign code. And the third item is a study session on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center Plan and 6th Street Corridor Study. So, before we get started, is there anyone in the audience who is wanting to give a public comment on any of the items that we're not here for a public hearing on? If that didn't make sense, feel free to yell at me too. Okay, great. There will be an opportunity to give public comment as part of the public hearing for both of the two items on our agenda tonight. Okay, in that case, we will move on to the public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment to the facilities table. Great.
Hi, good evening. I'm Joan Lieberman Brill with the Planning Department, and this evening we are recommending that the Houghton Community Council and the Kirkland Planning Commission hold a joint public hearing and then make a recommendation to the City Council to adopt a new facility projects table to add to the capital facility plan, which is contained in the capital facility element of the comprehensive plan. This is the table that we propose to insert into the group of tables that already exist in the comprehensive plan. And this table is for capital facilities. It shows all funded facility projects in the current six-year capital facilities improvement program and the capital facilities plan and the comprehensive plan. Not including this table when we adopted the 2015 through 2035 comprehensive plan in 2015 was an oversight, so it should have been included. It will be added to the five other capital facility project tables in the comprehensive plan that exist now. Those are the transportation, utility, which includes water and sewer, stormwater utility, public safety, which includes fire and police, and the parks project tables. So those are already in the capital facilities plan, and we're just adding this to those other plans and tables, those other tables. They show all funded capital projects that either provide capacity to meet our level of service standards or they enhance capacity and services to the public. Projects are more than $50,000. They have a 10-year lifespan and are fixed assets. Typically, they are projects to construct, acquire, replace, or renovate buildings, infrastructure, land, and major equipment. And the capital project tables are typically revised annually to be consistent with the changed capital improvement program. And as determined by state law, some projects are eligible for funding from impact fees, and others are eligible for other funding sources, such as the real estate excise taxes, or REIT. So to summarize, the new facility projects table is necessary to ensure consistency with the current six-year capital improvement program. It's going to preserve funding options that would be used for the approved project list. The couple of projects that are in the list are the maintenance center expansion and the city hall renovation that's going on right now. And finally, we need to adopt this so that it's in sync before the next budget and next round, this next six-year CIP, or capital improvement program, is adopted this December. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Before we have, well, first of all, did anybody sign up for public comment on this?
No sign.
Okay. Oh, yes. If we could just have the record reflect that Mr. Peterson arrived at 7:02. Lost my train of thought now. Oh, is there anybody in the audience who did not have the opportunity to sign up that wishes to give public comment on this item? Okay. In that case, we will close the public hearing on this proposed amendment, and the commission and the Home Community Council will now deliberate and make a approval or make a recommendation. So I suppose if anyone has any questions for staff, we'll tackle that first, and then it would be appropriate for the Houghton Community Council to deliberate first and make a recommendation.
Yeah, I have a question if you could help me out, Joan. So, and I suppose mainly it's a bit of ignorance on my standpoint in terms of what falls where and that sort of things on the charts. So it's just a point of information. This particular chart that we have is for capital facilities. Is it combined all the facilities that we have? So it would take City Hall, fire stations, that sort of thing?
No. We have a separate list for fire.
Okay.
So the fire station is on the safety list.
Okay.
So that's a different capital facility.
But would a capital facility then be all the little buildings like on parks and that sort of thing, like even the bathrooms, that sort of thing?
If they're more than 50,000 and they meet those other criteria.
Okay.
And they typically increase capacity or meet our level of service or other capacity.
And so these are only then planned items that
are
going
funded,
to be, that are funded.
That are funded.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I've got a question. Joan, refresh my memory. Was the City Hall expansion and the Maintenance Center expansion, or renovation and expansion, was that on a previous capital facility plan? Did we have it listed somewhere?
I assume so. This is the first time that we've been, you know, it's been in the capital improvement plan, okay,
yeah.
The six-year CIP.
Right.
It's been in there. It's always been on this chart, but we have neglected to update the CFP, the capital facilities plan, to reflect that.
I see.
On these tables. So it's been in the CFP, but hasn't been adopted in this comprehensive plan, and it needs to be in there.
I follow.
So it's sort of like correcting a...
It's an oversight, clerical error.
It's kind of like that.
Technicality, really.
Yes. Yeah. It's a correction. It should have been adopted in 2015 with the rest of the comprehensive plan amendments for the 2035 update of the comprehensive plan.
Are the amounts in this, are they pretty much the same as what had been in the CIP?
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
This brings it into exact consistency with the existing six-year CIP.
Yeah, so we're not introducing anything new.
That's right.
Simply correcting a
technical
oversight. That's
right. And then in December, the new budget and the new six-year CIP and CFP will have to be dealt with and adopted by the City Council.
So if there is an idea for some sort of renovation to a facility building, that then gets discussed, and then in December this chart would change from 2017 forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
If there's no other questions, then I guess the Houghton Community Council should move forward with a motion to recommend, assuming that that's what you guys wish is. So would someone care to make a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve, and let's make sure that we state this properly. What are we? Oh, my gosh. Let's get it right. We would recommend approval of amendments to the facilities plan. So all in favor of that, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we're recommending it.
Do you want the file number, Rick?
Does anyone on the commission have any other questions?
No. I just had one out of curiosity. You mentioned impact fees. And how, so I assume they are to increase capacity, and therefore I assume there might be this renovation of City Hall as well as the maintenance center expansion?
Yeah, the impact fees are allocated to certain kind of projects, certain kind of capital projects, such as transportation. Let's see, there's a series of projects that impact fees can go to, not government facilities. So these ones will not receive impact fee funding.
Okay.
They may be eligible for REIT funding.
I won't ask why you didn't see impact fees as sources of funds, because they're not there. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, would anyone like to make a motion? Yes, Mr. Peterson.
I move we adopt the amendment to the capital facilities plan by incorporating, I had it right there in front of me too, by incorporating to add the facility project table to the capital facilities element of the capital facility plan.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Miller seconds. Any further discussion? No. In that case, all those in favor of Mr. Peterson's motion to amend the comprehensive plan by adding the facilities table to the capital facilities plan contained in the capital facilities element, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you. We're on to the next item on our agenda, and that is a joint hearing on amendments to the sign regulations. Dorian. Oh, and before the staff presentation, again, if there's anyone in the audience that has not yet had the opportunity to sign up to give public comment tonight that would like to, I would ask you to do that now. Their sign-up sheet's just to my left.
Okay. The topic for this hearing is the first phase of study of amendments to the zoning code for related to signs. And this phase is limited to changes related to content neutrality. And so the plan for tonight is to have a brief staff presentation and take questions from you, the public comments. Then you would close the hearing and make a recommendation to City Council, who is expected to act on this on October 4th. As you know, you've had two study sessions on the draft amendments, one for the Planning Commission and one with the Houghton Community Council, both in August. And there were some fairly minor changes made from each of those bodies to the draft regulations, which appear as in the attachments. The Planning Commission changes are in yellow, and the Houghton Community Council changes are in green. We've provided notice of this hearing and the standard methods, publishing, posting, mailed out notices to neighborhood groups. And we've received a few comments that were in your packets, and they are almost all related to more policy issues, which we expect will be part of a second phase of the study. And we're going to be talking to the City Council more about what should be included in that phase. So quickly, the background is that we are making these changes as a result of court decisions that really found that regulations must be content neutral. So while we can regulate the dimensions and the materials of a sign, we cannot regulate the message of the sign. And we are trying to do this by the end of October because the Washington City's Insurance Authority found that the city was not in compliance and has given us that deadline. So the first phase of amendments is these changes that I've mentioned that are limited to those necessary to comply with these court decisions. And they are proposed for two chapters of the zoning code, Chapter 5, which is the definitions chapter, and 100, which is the sign regulation chapter. So proposed changes to Chapter 5 are the generally recommendations for eliminating content-based definitions. So things such as currently the definition of a construction sign is a sign identifying parties involved in the construction of a project. So right in the definition, it is describing the message of the sign. So that would not be a legitimate definition. So those kinds of definitions would be eliminated. And then changes to Chapter 100 are revisions to content-based sign regulations. So we've discussed these at the other meetings. Most of these changes would propose to address the condition or rather than the content. So rather than calling a sign a real estate sign, it would be called a sign for properties for sale or rent. And then there are also changes to the purpose section, which is also something that came out of that the Reed case, which says the signs regulations must be fulfilling a compelling governmental interest. So there are a number of changes proposed for that purpose section to make that clear and to also explicitly state that we are regulating signs in a content-neutral manner. This section, 100.15.9, is one that both of you discussed when we brought this to you during the study sessions, and it still needs to be worked on a little bit. The original, after the Planning Commission meeting, what we took to the Houghton Community Council was number one. So these are exclusions. So these are what this section would regulate are signs that are exempt from regulation. And initially, when we got to Houghton, we had number one, which says signs not exceeding 2 square feet per sign face, either providing public information or announcing a restriction on the subject property. And again, this is basically an existing regulation that is in the code. We've combined two different ones into this regulation to generally be content neutral. The Houghton Community Council felt that that restriction maybe wasn't restrictive enough and could result in excessive sign use. So the staff came up with number two and thought maybe this kind of gets at that issue a little bit. So it adds, it says signs not exceeding 2 square feet per sign face, either providing public information about the facilities present on the subject property or announcing a restriction on the subject property so that you couldn't have signs that are really not relevant to the property, which might limit them to some extent. And then the third option is just very clear and is certainly content neutral. The second option could be thought to be somewhat content-based, so we could have that in place, and then if the WCIA challenged that, we could remove it and then revert to number three, something like that. So we just wanted some direction from you as to which you felt you were most comfortable with. And let's see. So then also as you go through this, if there are any other revisions that you'd like incorporated in the recommendation to council, please let us know. So the next step is, following this, the meeting with the City Council on October 4th, and then we'd return to Houghton for approval or disapproval.
Okay, before we jump into questions and comments, I think we'll take public testimony. Did anybody sign up? No. Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who just arrived and not have the chance to sign up to give public comment tonight that would like to do so? Okay, in that case, we will close the public hearing on this matter, and the Commission and the Houghton Community Council will now deliberate and make a recommendation to Council. I think the best way to I think a good starting point is there's that. Could you go back to the slide that had for that particular, for those small signs? We'll tackle that first, and then we can go through any other issues that people have. But that is one that I think that's the only one that staff particularly flagged.
Yeah.
So, does anybody want to lead us off to any questions or comments on this? Mr. Peterson.
Yeah. I keep thinking about what's content neutral and what isn't on these things. And I, on number two, I don't think that's content neutral, then, strictly speaking, is it? Because you're saying, there's, you know, you're talking about the subject, you know, about the information that's on the sign. So, I mean, if we're going to be strict about this, I don't know. I wouldn't want the state busting us on it either. So that just seems, that seems to be a thing that isn't, you know, and I don't know what anyone else thinks.
Our recommendation is going to be reviewed by, I'm forgetting the name of the insurance, whoever directed us to do this.
We would submit our adopted regulations to them and hope that they agreed. They've reviewed a draft of this already and had no comments about these.
Okay.
But that this particular one, they hadn't.
We didn't call it out specifically to them yet?
Right. Okay. So, so I think we acknowledge that that is not content neutral, like number two. Right. But if you felt more confident with that, we could basically try.
Can I speak to this one?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is in the exemptions section, it seems like there needs to have some reason that this sign is exempted, right? And so just saying that it's the size, I mean, having the size be the exempt, that doesn't seem like there's any reason to have a sign.
Well, I don't know. It's because it's very small, and this type of sign was previously exempt.
Right.
And if I could jump in, I think this replaces an exemption, I believe, in the current, or maybe it was under the special signs, for like restroom or exit signs, things like that.
Right.
So that seems reasonable to be able to have those things.
Yes.
And if we are, so the original wording was written in a way knowing that we were not being fully content neutral, but that provided a place for those kinds of signs to be allowed through an exemption. But we acknowledge that they're not. So the language, either one or two, is really not a content-neutral language. So if we want to be purists about it, three would be that, and then all of those signs like restrooms or whatever, as long as they're less than 2 square feet, they can happen. But with three, we are not at all even expressing what the message would be in two or one. There's an attempt to express the idea that the only exempt signs are those providing the public information or restrictions. So is that understandable?
So a label or a direction is
content. If we say that a sign that has certain content is exempt or is allowed a certain amount of area, it is a content-based regulation. So I think that, as Glenn pointed out, number two is content-based, as is number one.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
So,
if you want to be, if we're going to be pure about it, we'd do number three, or we wouldn't do it at all, and then we have no place for the exits, restroom signs.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that going to be taken care of in the second part? I mean, where?
The second part can't be based on content either. I mean, you're talking about the second phase of the study, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, we just either have to accept that we're going to open it up and accept whatever message gets put on those 2 square foot signs, or we can try to provide some limitation, as one and two attempt to do, knowing that they're probably not 100% content neutral. Question for staff. Which of these three was in response to comments from the Houghton Community Council? The second one is the revision after?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
I'm always trying to think of a way that clever people would try and usurp the regulation.
Right, yes, exactly.
And the one thing that jumps out at me is the language that says square feet per sign face. What is a sign face? I immediately go to what is a sign face. So if we're talking about a channel sign or a box sign with just one big square box has a piece of plexiglass in it that's backlit versus possible channel letters where each individual letter is its own individual element, one could almost argue that, gee, I've got six signs up there, and there's six different letters, and they spell something out, and each individual letter is a sign face, and under 2 square feet, and I now have this 12-foot-long cumulative sign. Somebody could make an argument to meet the exact definition of the law. Now, I don't know that they would win that. I don't think it's ridiculous to think that way, though. So from a definition standpoint, I think we probably in the definitions under the codified section of the code ought to look at what each of these words specifically define, and that would be a good starting point. So we don't end up with an unintended consequences in 1, 2, or 3 of some accumulation of a big sign, not a bathroom sign, not a... you know, an exit sign, but maybe a big real estate sign. That's okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I do think that I would err on the side myself of being a purist and just hit number 3 on this. That's where I'm landing on this. The second thing that jumps out at me is that in phase 1, we don't talk anything at all about electronic signs. You know, are they lit? Are they not lit? Are they little teeny? Can you have little teeny miniature reader boards and several of them gang together and you read from one to the next one? So that's the other thing is the electronic portion of this that's not in here at all. I don't know if that, you know, where that's. I know there's other electronic reader board, but when is a sign, you know, something smaller than 2 square feet not really definitely under by definition a reader board sign, but you put a whole bunch of them together like you go into the stores and you've got 20 TV sets that make one screen, you know, is... So I think the definitions are important in this, is the point.
John hit on what concerns me about this is we don't have any limitations on how many signs. So my concern is, I mean, in the one after, we talk about one sign per structure. So can we write on this that it's limited 1 or 2 signs per property? Because the same thing, someone could take a no trespassing sign and put up 10.
Right, because it's sign face. Is sign face different than sign? Yeah. Good.
Anyone have any comments? Anybody want to maybe express? Or at least we can come to some sort of idea of where people are at right now so we can move off of this.
I would just go with number 2 because that's what we're trying to do, and if it gets kicked back to us, then we have to go to number 3. But if number 2 really says what we're trying to say, and if staff went into that eyes open, you know, as Eric said, it's not purist, but it's what we're trying to do. So I would tend to go with number 2 as to Mr. Kapler's comment. I don't know. I think you have to really stretch it to say each letter is a different sign. I mean, a sign face is in the eye of the code enforcement officer. So, you know. So, at any rate, I'm not so worried about that, I don't think.
Yes, Mr. Singhal.
I agree with Glenn, Mr. Peterson, about going with number 2, although I would suggest a couple of minor revisions. One is, I wonder if the language per face actually helps or actually just creates more complexity, whether we can simply talk about signs that are no more than 2 foot in size. And then the other thing I would suggest is that as we think about public information about the facilities, that feels awfully broad. And if we try and narrow this to talk more specifically about public wayfinding and then public restrictions, I wonder if we end up kind of achieving the same goal without sort of opening a Pandora's box of questions about what public information really is.
Mr. Miller?
I would be really, really concerned about that, just having that kicked right back at us, because what we're doing is going down a rat hole of even providing more restrictive information on the sign and getting more content restrictive on the sign. Quite frankly, I agree with John that I would go with number three to just make sure that we're clean on the non-content, but have the staff, I'm assuming that in this, somewhere in the regulations, you have a definition section, and to go in and work the definitions on what exactly a sign is, a sign face. When John was first starting to talk about sign faces, I was thinking of a cube. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you've got six sides to, mm-hmm. is that one sign or is it six signs? So I think working on your definitions of what a sign is, and to avoid the conundrum of what John was suggesting, that each letter becomes a sign in itself, that you somehow restrict it so that, as in his example, where you have quite often, you know, a whole bank of TV screens that provide one scene or one picture, that you're not creating a loophole where you can have a series of 2-square-foot signs that all of a sudden is 100 square feet. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but you want to make sure that we're just not creating that loophole in there, and you can do that in your definition section. And with that, I would feel comfortable with going with number three.
Anyone else? Mr. Pruitt or Mr. Bagg? Oh, do you not?
I am, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Pruitt.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Eric, you had said there. I thought you had said something. There was an implication to going with number three that we wouldn't be able to do something. What would that be?
Well, three just simply does not get into messaging at all.
Yeah.
Whereas two tries to clarify the types of messages that are exempt. So again, not technically content neutral because of them, but it is more consistent with the kinds of signs that are currently exempted under our program.
Intent.
So two was simply an option, well, one and two were options that were trying to deal with what we thought would be the sensitivity of just being wide open, which is number three. That's all. Knowing that they're not technically content.
And we asked the question about have the WCI reviewed this and will they review this again. Did that include this number two? Was number two something they had seen and not commented on?
Well, not quite that language. It was an earlier draft of that. It was probably the draft that we sent to the Planning Commission, wasn't it? So it would have been the first round. It would have been the first paragraph there.
Do you want to
it was closer
hear
to
what it
one.
Said?
Yeah. Effectively the same, though.
The original one said signs not exceeding 2 square feet per sign face, either providing public information or announcing a restriction on the subject property.
Yeah.
Oh, so that is what?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they said.
So that flew, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did not. They did not.
What?
They did not reject that. Yeah. That's right.
I think that I would favor number two. I agreed with Glenn's comments. To me, though, it seems that these are the people that are responsible for ensuring, you know, risk management at the city, and that they're the ones directing us to enforce this law. If they had a comment on this, I'd be concerned. But it doesn't seem that they did. I don't know that I see a lot of risk in number two personally.
And if I can jump in on that a little bit more too, even if the WCIA says okay, you've met what we asked you to do. That's essentially what they're being asked to do.
they're asking us to do. So even if that happens, that doesn't mean that somebody down the line could say, hey, wait a minute, you're being too restrictive on how you're interpreting this. And we may have to back down at that point, knowing that this probably doesn't meet the legal test. But
yeah. Mr. Bagg, did I skip you? We'll go back to you.
Okay.
Is this the sort of thing that will only be... Is this a code enforcement thing where pretty much they're going to be left alone unless somebody complains? I mean, if you have a restroom sign at Marina Park, I mean, it's probably going to be okay to have a restroom sign unless somebody complains and says it's...
I think that's basically right. I mean, having said that, you know, if there's a real egregious... It's hard for me to imagine a real egregious two-foot sign, but...
explaining what the facilities are for.
Yeah, or that doesn't explain the facilities, let's say. Yeah. And then we say, oh, wait a minute, you can't have that sign because it's not a facilities or restriction sign. That's the sort of situation where we would be getting into someone saying, wait a minute, that's illegal.
Mr. Bagg?
First thing, reading this is, and I apologize for missing the previous hearing, but I look at policy CC4.9, and I think the word commercial ought to be struck.
Let's jump around to other... knock this out
but
first.
Getting back to this, I mean, I think the conundrum is on number two is about the facilities present could be conceived as, oh, my store. It's a facility. You're going in my store building. I can put my commercial building, my store's name on it.
Yeah, 2 square feet.
Two square feet.
My store allows you to enter.
Okay. How many of the commissioners, if you could just a nod of heads, how many of the commissioners are comfortable with going with number two? Okay. All right, and then there's a few people who were more interested in the third option. Or I think Mr. Miller was, is that right? But not particularly so. Okay.
I will fall on my sword over it.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose we should now move on to if anyone has any other comments on other sections of this. Yeah. We call it chapter. Mr. Bagg, I'm sorry, I had to cut you off earlier. What in particular was it that you were...
On page 3, it goes back to the policies. It says, implement sign regulations that equitably allow visibility in the display of commercial information and protect Kirkland's visual character. And I think the word commercial should be deleted to be content neutral.
Where is that?
It's in the discussion of criteria for amending the zoning code. So that's a policy from the community character element of the comprehensive plan. So we can't do that now because these are zoning code amendments, but we could put that on the list for comp plan amendments.
Oh, interesting. I suppose we could have a policy that is not content neutral so long as the code is content neutral? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Well done. Yeah.
All right, any other comments or critiques or changes? I guess I have two. In section... This is just minor, but in section 135 and 140, it appears on pages 10 and 11 of our packet. In the introductory sentence, it refers to special signs described in zoning code section 115. And in 115, we refer to them as temporary signs. We just clean that up. Those are the only two spots in the code that say that.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, would anyone like to make a motion for a recommendation? Oh, I'm sorry. Was there a hand on that? Oh, yes. Let's have Houghton do that first. Mr. Miller.
Would anyone care to make a motion?
Is the motion that we would approve it with the changing of number two?
I think we would. Yeah, we would be recommending the proposed amendments with number two being the option that we prefer.
I second it.
So yeah, I would.
So moved. Okay, yeah, so moved and seconded. Any further discussion? No. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Good.
Easy enough. Okay. Would anyone on the commission like to make a motion?
I would move that we recommend approval of the amendments to Chapter 100 text as presented to us in the staff memorandum, Addendum 2, with the proviso that Paragraph 2 to 100.15.9 be used.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Cullen seconds the motion. Mr. Miller's motion was that we recommend approval of the proposed amendments in our packet with the change to reflect paragraph 2 of the recommendations for section 115.9. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are on to the third item on our agenda tonight, and that is a study session on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center Plan and 6th Street Corridor Study. If there's anyone in the audience who is interested in this tonight, we will take public comment at the end of our meeting after we go through this, about half an hour or so. So if there's anything you hear tonight that you'd like to share your opinion on, we would love to hear it.
Hello. I'm just going to give you a brief update on our progress with the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center and the 6th Street Corridor Study. So probably won't take a half hour. First thing, I just want to remind you that there was a resolution passed by the City Council back in 2014, said that we were going to have this project done, the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center portion of it, by October this year. And over time, the project has changed slightly. We've added in the 6th Street Corridor, and we also have quite a complete public involvement portion to it, which I think has added a lot. But what that means is that it's going to take us a little longer to get this done than we had originally hoped. So we're going to be going to Council on the 20th of September to ask them to change that resolution to say that we will be done with this project by the end of February 2017. And that's a firm date. So anyway, and hopefully they will understand and pass that. So I'm here to kind of tell you what we've done so far, give you an update on what's going on, and then we'll be back in the fall with more information and proposals of what the actual zoning and comp plan will look like. The summer has been spent mostly on public involvement and outreach, and I gave you the link to the webpage there. We're in the process of a survey. I think we have over 350 responses so far, and we've decided to keep it open through the end of September, try and get more, because we're really trying to get the word out about that.
How many was it? How many responses so far?
Over 350. I don't know exactly. I heard that a few days ago, and okay. I think, you know, it may be up from there now.
Okay.
But we're doing pretty well. Yeah. Trying to get information citywide, not just Houghton and Everest, because we're talking about the 6th Street Corridor, too. So, and if any of you have taken the survey, you'll see that we ask what neighborhood you're from at the end. And the reason for that is we want to be able to divide it up. And when we're looking at Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center, we want to, you know, give a little more weight to the people who are living in that area. But when we're looking at the 6th Street corridor, that really serves the whole city. So anyway, we're getting the word out. The consultants have been to a lot of just events over the summer. We put up posters. I gave you all the little cards that we're handing out to people that have the web page on them. Staff and the consultants are going to be going to the neighborhood meetings in September. You know, most of the neighborhood groups don't meet over the summer. So we'll go to Central Houghton, we'll go to Moss Bay, and we'll go to Everest in September and I think the first week of October. Then, and also the consultants have been calling property owners and some key citizens to just get their opinions too. And then, of course, doing their background work on traffic and other things to get us ready for the fall where we're kind of kicking this thing off. So we're expecting to have a large community workshop the first week in November. I had put in your memo that it was going to be in October, but we're having difficulty with getting a date. So we've moved it the first week in November and don't have a set date yet, but will soon. Then once we have that, we'll be coming back to you all and starting to have our more formal meetings. We're hoping to have meetings in November, December, and January, and then back to the both councils, City Council and Houghton Community Council, in January or February. I think that's pretty much what's been going on, unless you have any questions. Yeah, Betsy.
I have several. A lot of these things, and I don't know how many consultants there are or anything, but these are all of these are like, looks like one-day events where mm-hmm. they just move around. Do you have any idea how many residents they have been able to contact? Are they keeping track of how many people they have contacted or have
at those events them? Or?
Yeah, at those events. I mean, do we know, is it like 3 or 4 people? Is it 60 people a day? Do we know? Do we have any kind of numbers on how many people they're actually?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
And we can get those. I mean, I'm sure they're keeping track. I think some events are, obviously, they get more than others. I know
yeah.
there's been a few where they haven't gotten that many, others where it's been more successful.
Yeah.
We've also done listserv. We've sent to every listserv we could think of, trying to, again, you know, make sure yeah. that everybody knows about the survey and about the yeah. web page.
I mean, there's an awful lot of people that aren't aware of listservs and don't even.
And that's why, and yeah. I've been to many Starbucks putting up posters there and card. We're trying yeah. to get it out every way we can think of.
Right. Well, that's what brings me to a suggestion that I would have because,
okay.
I mean, this is very neighborhood centric, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's happening. We really want everybody who like depends on this neighborhood shopping center to know what's going on. And
mm-hmm.
so I would maybe urge a large public notice sign if you could with something in it, maybe at both the PCC side and the Met Market parking lot, Starbucks, maybe even on the reaches of where this is, a real sign where people who drive to that center or walk to that center every day, because maybe they weren't, I mean, I've only been at like one or two of these places in the last month or two, you
right.
know, and,
yeah.
and so it seems to me like it's pretty hit or miss, but it's certainly not focusing on the people who, that's their lifeblood, that's, you know,
right.
that's their
and
grocery
that,
stores.
And let me explain. I mean, we will be putting up public notice signs. That's standard procedure for the city when we're talking about changing the comp plan or the zoning code.
Right.
But this is just trying to get the word out in advance and have people know about this survey and this webpage. So
I understand that,
yeah.
but I just feel like the information from that survey is going to inform what you end up putting on that public notice sign or, you know, what your plans are. Because I've seen it before where 5 people show up and give feedback, and so all of a sudden that's what the policy begins,
yeah.
ends up being. And so I really would like to make sure that, you know, instead of 350 people, we have 3,000 people answering
We would love to do that, too.
Yeah.
We'll
I mean,
try. I mean, we really, I feel like, at least for projects I've worked on, this is the biggest blitz I've ever... I mean, we're really trying to get it out there, but we right. will do more.
Yeah.
And I'll
it's just
see
very,
what I can...
Don't, I just don't see anywhere here there were people like at Houghton Market. There were people at
They would not allow us to be there. They wouldn't let us be at Houghton Market. We tried. Mm. PCC did let us go there.
Okay.
So to some extent, you have to go with what, you know...
Yeah.
They will allow. They don't allow that type of thing
but
there.
You're the city, and you can put a sign. You can put a notice sign. Up.
They would not allow a notice sign up at Houghton Market, and neither would some other ones. So I mean, because I was also helping with that. Starbucks is really good, but some of the others don't allow it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that was my point.
Yes. So I love the idea about a notice sign early because spot on you. Want people giving advice, not people being provoked at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the land use sign, people pay attention to the land development signs that developers are required to put up. I think you ought to put two of those on each street all the way around. There's eight of them in the right of way. We're allowed to do that. That will get attention. I mean, land development, because that's what this is. This is, that's what this is. And get them in there now. So, you know, it might happen in 20 years, but the zoning is going to change now. Mm-hmm.
Or we could end up with what we had last time with Everest neighborhood not feeling like they were properly noticed. And
We don't want spears and pitchforks anymore. We tried everything not have that happen. And it happened.
Yeah.
We need to do everything we can to not have that happen again.
Okay.
Everything.
Public notice signs. I've got it. If you have any other suggestions, I'd love to hear them. We've been trying to come up with everything we could. Okay. Yes.
I got one. Don't ask the grocery store and the drugstore. Talk to Tom, who's the property manager.
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
He wouldn't?
And he wouldn't let you put something up on that fence at the back?
I didn't ask about the fence. I asked if we could either have a table out in front or we could put a sign in the store, and he said that was against their policy.
Well, I'm not talking about the stores. I'm talking about Tom, the Nelson's property manager.
I know who you're talking about. I did talk to Tom directly. They have a policy.
There's a fence behind Starbucks and along...
I think that the idea, I mean, when you start getting in the back like that, I don't know. I think that the idea of putting up public notice signs is a good one, and that'll be the next thing we'll try.
That'll get people's attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people really do notice that, and especially in Houghton.
Yeah.
Because I know the stores aren't going to let you do it, but they don't own that parking lot.
But he represents the people who do. I mean, it's a policy they have. It's not just for us and for our side. They have that in general.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to have a talk with Tom.
Yes.
Angela, is there any magic to the September 16th closing date for the survey, or could we consider extending it to the end of the month? Or maybe?
It is extended to the end of the month. Sorry, I thought I said that.
Oh, I didn't.
It was in that month. But since then, Lakeview School has gotten in touch with us and asked if they could have more information and flyers to put out to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a meeting, and so we're doing that. And so we decided to extend it to the end of the month so that they could be involved.
I'm sorry I missed that. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Do you have any idea how many people have actually signed up for the listservs? That might be an indication.
Oh, I'm not talking about just the listserv for this. I'm talking about the listserv for the Planning Commission and for the City Council and for Houghton Community Council and the Transportation Commission. Every listserv that the city has that would at all relate, we have sent out something to them telling them about this survey and that we want them to be involved.
Okay.
So that we're getting into thousands there. That doesn't mean they're all going to do it, but we've at least gotten the word out to them.
Yeah.
Good.
And, of course, to the neighborhood groups and to CAN and all that.
Well, the survey's good. Or it's fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I didn't think we were supposed to do that. So
I didn't do it.
No,
they told us.
They
sent it to our city email to do it.
I don't think.
Right?
Why would we be prohibited from being part of the survey?
Yeah.
We live there. We should be able to.
Oh yeah. I looked at that and I thought, oh, that was information, and we shouldn't do this. So I didn't. I misunderstood.
Well, you have time. You can still do it.
You can do it, John.
Oops.
Ms. Cullen?
Well, to follow on the comment about, you know, a public notice sign,
mm-hmm.
it might also be good to put some kind of a QR code that on that sign so that folks that are walking by with their cell phones can just access the survey from that. So it would just be a simple way for someone walking by on the street just to catch that and be able to take action right there on the sidewalk. And that'd be a suggestion that I have. It's also a way for you to track. You can get some demographic information also from that.
Mm-hmm. Any other suggestions or comments on the commission?
Okay. As a practical matter, how long will it take you to get public notice signs out?
I don't know. I was going to check on that tomorrow. I mean, we've got to get them made. And I, what I'm thinking is maybe we can put up something plain and then put our poster up on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll look into it. You know, yeah. I'll see what we can do.
Andrew, this is off the wall, but a lot of cars are going around these days with magnetic signs on the side of them. And if you make up a sign, I'll put it on the side of my car and advertise.
I think we should put you a poster board walking out in front of it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you can do one of those sandwich boards.
But does it have to be content neutral? Because I don't understand how that's
me.
Work.
I'll just have a sign.
One more suggestion, Angela. What about the CKC? Putting any signage out there? Because you'll have a lot of people walking by.
The consultants have been out there with a table. I don't know if I can put a sign up there or not. I mean, I'll check into it.
I think that's a great idea because there are those wayfaring signs.
Yeah.
On the, because those are the people that
Angela's,
that are going
to
care.
It's always better to beg forgiveness than ask permission.
Yeah.
Just put it out there.
Yeah.
We won't tell anybody.
I will say the city in whole should be commended on its extreme efforts to date in trying to get this out to everybody. This is not easy, and we know this is a friction kind of deal, so you get gold stars from my
standpoint.
Thank
you.
Yeah. No, it's,
absolutely.
Yeah, we just kind of want to save you from the onslaught.
I honestly don't know if that's possible, but that's okay.
I don't thank you
for your efforts.
No matter what you do.
You know, I'll tell you what'll get their attention. Get that rendering, you know, your truck took 50 years ago. But,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Great, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no minutes to read and approve. Are there any city council actions since our last meeting to discuss?
Yes, city council.
Does this involve the Houghton Community Council?
I'm sorry. Yes, it does.
Does it? Oh, okay.
It does. It absolutely does.
I was going to ask for.
For those in the audience, we are still going to take public comment after this.
I don't think that we should be present for public comment related to the center.
Okay, I'll leave that up to you.
Oh, because it's going to come before
quasi-judicial. I don't think we're supposed to be.
It's legislative.
Fine.
You're talking about the regulations for the.
Why not?
Yeah. Oh, it is legislative.
Solely legislative.
I was thinking of something else. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to answer your question, the council adopted the marijuana daycare buffer regulations on Tuesday night, and they elected by a 4-3 vote to go with a 100-foot buffer instead of the 600, still not applicable in Houghton. So that's where they ended up. They had, I guess it first came to the council in August. There were only five council members there. One of the council members wanted to suggest the 100-foot buffer but wanted all seven council members to be there, so it was continued to last Tuesday, and they had a discussion, and they four of them voted for a 100-foot buffer.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Yep.
Just one more thing before we get into public comment, and that is we need to set a meeting date. Is that right?
For publishing.
Is your microphone on?
Oh,
Oh, okay, sorry. We need to set a hearing date for the low-impact development regulations. And so we're hoping that you can do a joint meeting on October 24th, which is the Houghton Community Council meeting that month.
October 24th.
So if the Planning Commission would be willing to come on that Monday rather than Thursday. We don't have a meeting room on the 27th, for one thing. And then also that would save having to have two separate meetings. Does that work with your calendars?
Oh, what day was that?
Monday, October 24th.
So it would be on Monday, October 24th, instead of Thursday, the 27th.
I am unavailable.
You are unavailable?
Yes. I have another meeting.
Works for me.
If each person wouldn't mind.
I can. I'm good.
Okay.
I can't. Go down. Three to go.
And what was the next one?
I'm fine.
No.
Mr. Bagg cannot attend.
I can attend.
I cannot get. I'm probably able to attend. My work has their board meeting on that same night, and I don't know for sure that it'll be done by 7, or even if I will be required to go to it. But I'm a probably.
And Colleen?
I can make it.
What was that?
I can make it.
Oh, great! Thank you. I didn't hear from Mike.
Mr. No, you Miller? Haven't.
I'm sorry.
I was just waiting for you to call on me.
I think
kind of slow
you.
Playing us, huh, Mike?
Well, no, wait a minute. I showed up a couple weeks ago when you needed me desperately.
And we really appreciated that.
Oh, thank you. I think I can make it.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, so then we should be okay without...
Do we need Mr. Pruitt's attendance?
Pruitt.
Okay.
Yeah, if everyone...
Okay, really great. Okay.
And then what about Houghton?
Well, it's our regular meeting. We're here.
We're good.
Okay. We're
good. Very good.
Okay, I won't be here.
Oh, yeah. Kelly won't be here?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We have on the 22nd... we do not have a commission meeting because there's the all-city dinner. I think an email went out about that today or the other day. I saw it today at least. I'm not sure when it went out. On the 29th, the commission does have a meeting, a joint public hearing with the Houghton Community Council. So everyone make sure you have that on your calendar.
Okay, so... Yeah, that's when we were talking about doing that on Monday, but now we're doing that on the Thursday instead. We're doing that on our regular Thursday.
Our regular Thursday was the
22nd. No, we're talking September 29th.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're
September
29th. Okay, got it. We're doing it on a Thursday. And this October one is for sure, you said, right? That we're
yes.
just talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And thank you to everyone in the audience who stuck around to give public comment. We'll now take public comment for anyone who would like to on any item, whether on the agenda or not. If you have not already signed up on the sign sheet, you can do it after you give comment, but we'd like to be able to record your information. So for those of you who have not had the opportunity to address the commission or the Houghton Community Council before, just a reminder that we limit you to 3 minutes. There's a green light, yellow light, red light in front of you. And eventually, I will cut you off. Okay, Ms. McConnell.
Lisa McConnell, Central Houghton Neighborhood Association Chair and longtime Houghton resident. I have taken the survey. It's a fabulous survey, pretty extensive. There were a few comments of items that I noticed that were left out in the scope on the survey, one of which was freight. And delivery, commercial delivery for the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center and the 6th Street corridor is a transportation issue. Another thing, God, drawing a blank as soon as I get up here, is the central Cross Kirkland corridor wasn't clearly defined what the scope were. There was a map in there, but it wasn't. In text wasn't defined what the scope of the the area was for the 6th Street corridor, like how far south down 6th Street, 108th, did it go? I know that was an item of discussion at a Transportation Commission meeting that I unfortunately missed. So to give a little more clarity to public when you're dealing with it, just from where to where and what are we talking about and how much of the CKC is involved, because that was a question that came up. I'm looking forward to having this discussion. And furthermore, you might joke about the renderings, but I think that was one of the best parts of the survey, is having a picture. This is what five stories looks like. This is what's, you know, it really nails it in home for people to look at it and then go, I like this, I don't like that. And I think it's a good way to go to further discussion rather than having a lot of text and that sort of thing. And I think they did a phenomenal job on that one. You'll probably be seeing me a lot through this whole process. It'll be an exciting adventure, and hopefully it'll be precedent setting for other neighborhood centers like Bridal Trails and other areas that we're going to be dealing with in the future. Thank you.
Ms. Connell. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience tonight who would like to give public comment on any item, whether on our agenda or not? Yes, please. If you have not had the opportunity to sign the sign-in sheet when you're done, if you could jot your name down. It's just over there. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sandy Helveson. I've been a homeowner in Houghton since 1991. First question is, are you going to, and maybe you won't answer these here, but just to throw this out there, are you going to rely on any of the meetings and feedback that was given, extensive feedback that was given in the prior years, I guess around 2014, when all of this was tabled for later? Because I'm kind of getting the feeling that we're not going to have a lot of endless meetings, which I congratulate you on, but it's very limited time for input, and so many hours were spent giving feedback to what we wanted and didn't want. So I was wondering if that's going to be carried over, or are we starting over at this point? I'm hoping that you're doing a lot of traffic and parking studies because that all weighs into it. I know you're asking us about it, how we feel, but I'm hoping that you have very good studies, and especially on the impacts of the surrounding neighborhoods of this center increasing. Right now, there's basically no parking on 106 anymore. I live on 106, and all the Met Market employees park there. So I think you need to be aware of that, and that needs to be recorded, that where would these people go? Because obviously there's never enough parking. And you learn that at Juanita Village, that there's never enough parking, and it's a huge conflict. And I guess from my standpoint, going so many years back, the apartments that are along there, and now the city is an owner of one of those properties, which I feel like they sort of have a conflict of interest, because they're a property owner that would see their property values double, triple, whatever, if we went to five stories or something. But that was always zoned as a residential sort of a multifamily transition zone. And I hope that we don't lose that. As a homeowner that bought there, and I've sort of had that expectation that it would stay as a transition zone. And I'm talking about the Waddell property, the city property. And that's really meaningful that it stays residential, I think, for the people that live in the neighborhood below the Kirkland Corridor, 106. So that's just my two cents there. And I'm kind of curious how much input you're going to give to the survey and to the feedback. Is it really matter what you're going to present? Or are we going to be spinning our wheels? So hopefully you will give give that a lot of weight. I love the idea of the public notice signs. The only problem is if they don't go up for 2 weeks, and these people can't do the survey, then they're not really going to be heard. Because I'm kind of feeling that that's the only way that maybe individuals can really maybe give feedback, unless they show up at these meetings, and they might not. So I think if you are going to put up these signs, you're going to either have to extend the survey time another couple weeks into October. Because to make it meaningful, you want a couple weeks. And lastly, I had trouble going onto the City of Kirkland website and quickly finding the survey. And maybe it was me, and I was trying to do it really quickly. But I just couldn't simply, like, find it. And it seems like it should be a quicker process. And it would be good if you had the deadline clear in there that if you're going to do the survey, here's our deadline. Okay, so that's it. Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity to give input. We realize that is a valuable opportunity for us as residents, and thank you.
Thank you so much for coming tonight. Thank you for those good ideas. I would hope that we make sure we have the survey readily apparent on the landing page of the website, if that's possible.
It is.
Great.
On the web page. And that's what the information that we're getting out has the link.
Great.
But, we'll see if there's anything else we can do.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, yes.
I want to ask Angela a question.
Yeah.
Angela, she brought up, I thought, a very good point about all of the input and everything that was put in by the different, the Central Holt area and the Everest ever originally, and because things kind of went south, they didn't get to use that. Are you still using that too?
Well, what I would say is, first of all, we did spend 2 years on the Central Holt neighborhood plan, and the result of all that comment and work that was done is now reflected in the comprehensive plan for Central Houghton. We still, of course, still have all the information from the time after that point when we've talked about this.
Shut up.
So yes, we will. We are looking at that. We have that, but I would guess that what happens now will have more impact because it's more current. But we're not totally ignoring what we heard before. Obviously, that's actually impacting how we're handling this whole process.
I still have all those emails in my inbox, so if you need to see them again, I can
forward them to you. Great. Yeah, I think I do, too.
And I would almost turn that question around to you all, because I think you all are part of the decision makers, and really how you want to consider that former comments is probably the most important thing.
Well, an awful lot of the comments had to do with Everest, not with process, than about the actual anything that was brought up, I think. So,
well, and even in the comp plan, we made it clear that whatever was done with that would be subject to a comprehensive plan for it. So we didn't make any decisions. We conceptually could conceive of something that would be increased in the heights and zoning, but we didn't commit to it. It was subject to a comprehensive plan for that whole business district. So we really we didn't reach any conclusion on that.
So that is what we're supposed to be doing now.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's why we're trying to get the word out. Exactly. That's why we have the survey. I mean, so let's... We will go forward and see how this all...
Thank you, Eric. If I could, Sandy, if I could ask you a question. I didn't get to do that before you ran away. So you live on 106th. Yeah, if you could. So the people on 106th and the people on 108th, probably from 50th or something, probably into downtown, are the ones that are going to be impacted mostly on a roadway.
Well, 108. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
And I just would like to know, are you and your neighbors actively getting together and discussing this, or is it more for yourself independently, just taking surveys and making notes and writing emails and that sort of thing?
There is, besides CHNA, there is no other concerted effort.
Okay. I'm just trying to get an idea back to the question, how many people are really actively engaged in this is what the question's about.
You
so,
mean on traffic, or is that what
well,
you're talking
on traffic, or about any of the comments or anything?
Well, I do know personally that Met Market's gotten quite a few complaints. People are very frustrated because there is no parking on 106th, even down to 105th, the whole curve, and it's it's public property. It's their right. Nobody's arguing that, but it's a frustration, and so I think it just should be a consideration in looking at turning this neighborhood center, what we've called it always, a neighborhood center, that how will that impact a residential neighborhood that's so close by?
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'd like to make a comment to you. She lives on 106th, and I live on Northeast 65th, which takes off like this.
Mm-hmm.
And on both sides of the street, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock or so at night, there's not any place that if I had company, if I didn't have a big driveway, they wouldn't be able to get anywhere near, okay. You know. So it is a real problem in the side streets.
So on the surveys, are there, and I will go home and take it tonight, are there any questions about parking districts?
I'm trying to remember. I think not specifically parking districts. There are places. Do you remember?
Well, the parking questions kind of confused me. It asked if you wanted parallel parking or angled parking or surface parking.
Right. Oh, yeah. I wasn't talking. So, well, that is one thing. But mm-hmm. I thought there was something about, maybe not. Maybe there isn't.
But
I know
nothing
that,
about two-hour parking limit along the street?
No, not that.
Which is a parking district.
What I can say is I know Transpo is the part of the consultant team that's working on the corridor. And they're very aware that there's a problem with on-street parking.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know they're aware of that. Now, mm-hmm. I guess there probably isn't a specific question about that in the survey. I'd have to go back and look.
Nor were there any questions about underground parking, which
yes.
you know is one of the things. And
that should have been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they asked you, one of the things they asked you is if they showed a big sea of cars, and they said, do you like this? But they didn't show like a canyon buried in the ground of cars and say, do you like this? They didn't, yeah.
Okay, is there anyone else in the audience tonight who would like to give public comment? Go ahead.
Actually, this is a public question.
We may not be able to answer tonight. If you do have a very specific question.
No, it relates to the survey, the disbursement of the survey.
If you have a specific question that we're not able to answer tonight, a good way to get an answer is to send an email to staff.
Let's try it. Your
let's try it. I think it's fairly simple.
Sure.
I'm not the most technical tool on the block, but listserv. It's been researched, you know, you've referred to it several times. How is that determined?
It? What? If you go to the web page, have you been to the web page?
But I have to specifically ask to be put
yes,
on listserv.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
it says,
what I'm asking.
Do you want to be kept informed or something like that? I can't remember the exact wording, but it's pretty prominent on the page. If you click on that, then it asks for your email address. And if you give that, then anytime we update the web page or have something that we want to let you know about, there's a meeting coming up or something, you'll get an email.
Okay, because I've thought that because I've had many occasions to comment to various councils and staff within the city of Kirkland, I'm pretty sure lots of people have my email address, and I thought that probably did it, but obviously it doesn't.
No, I can't add you to the listserv.
Okay.
You can only add yourself. I've asked that question before.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Could we get your name,
yes.
please? For
yes, I'm sorry. I'm Pam Kiesel, and I've lived in Houghton for most of 50 years now. So I've seen a lot of changes here. And I would also make the comment that, yes, we need to talk about the corridor, but there's a broader area that all of this is going to impact, because as the traffic becomes worse and worse and people try to find their way through Kirkland off 405 on Lakeview Drive, on like Washington Boulevard, on 108th, however they can get there, we're all impacted, and it's very hard to even get off our street some days, which is a dead end. So aside from illegally driving on the corridor, we don't really have another option.
Thank you so much for coming tonight. Well, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to give public comment tonight that not have their...
I'm the only one left.
Okay, great. yes, Ms. McConnell, if you have 10 seconds or something...
I was just going to answer one of the questions that
sure.
was brought up. Last year, CHNA had extensive meetings on this very subject, as David Goffrey was like to talk about parking being Parky the Octopus, you know, how it tentacles out. We were trying to get ahead of the game, and we devoted most of our 2015 meetings to this very subject. All of that information and the results and our meeting notes and anything that we did last year went to the Three Square firm that is run, the consulting firm that is running that. So that is all part of their information packet, all the comments and things that we went over last year. So that's another chunk of information that'll be part of this discussion. So hopefully you'll get to see that as well.
What firm?
Thank you so much.
What firm?
Is it Three Square?
Three Square Blocks. That's our consulting firm.
Okay.
So, thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to say that. So they've received all that information.
Thank you, Mr. Connell. Okay, we are at the end of our agenda tonight. In that case, this meeting is adjourned.